Accession number 31436, Mr. Fred Cutmore, Reel 5. Now, what happened then? We've got to Sasebo. What happened then?
In Sasebo, we just got short of it. It was our best period, sometimes we used to got short at 9 o'clock, and he let you short 9 o'clock in the morning to 11, but you weren't allowed all night in them days.
And what would you do on your visits ashore?
Pardon?
What would you do at Sasebo?
Drink.
Was it a good drinking place?
Well, Japan, yes. You only got two beers. Was Aisha Lager and Kirin Lager. We had a canteen up where we was, not in Sasebo, but it was a Navy canteen, and it was top of a warehouse, and you all sat on beer crates, and was poverty stricken, actually. But we got beer, you got beer tickets in them days. And it gradually wore off that you didn't get beer tickets, but you got beer tickets when we first got there, and you was allowed three bottles or something like that. I can't remember now.
Did you like the beer, or was it not what you were used to?
Well, we used to call it onion water.
Onion water? What? Why? The taste, or?
Well, it was like a taste. Tasted like bloody onion water. Wasn't like bitter at home, or brown owl or something like that. Was.
And how did you get on with the Japanese? The one, you know.
Well, the Japanese was the Japanese, wasn't they? They were still under occupation then.
Were they resentful? How did you get on with them?
Well, I got on all right with them, but I didn't like them.
What, because of the war?
Yeah, no, because what they done to our blokes, diabolical. They used to, when we first got there, they had Australian people, POs, and in charge of them, and they used to march down to the dockyard. And as you see them old war films, that's what they look like. And they had them three-toe shoes on and boots, whatever they was. And the Australian PO used to march them down, and they worked on the ship. They'd done all sorts of things up. And it didn't stand no old muckle for them in them days. Because it was still unoccupied. They hadn't got the Somme back then. And, sure you could buy all sorts of things, mostly we used to go in a bar or something there, and it was dirt roads, and no literally roads run right through it in Sasebo. And we either went into the canteen, like our canteen, or walked ashore.
What about your operate? Because you were there for shore bombardment. Tell us about the patrols and shore bombardments you went out of.
Well, when you went on patrol,
what were the patrols like?
Well, you automatically went to defence stations for a start. When you left Sasebo, you went.
Now, what was your defence station? Was that in Waitara?
No, my defence station was on a 4-inch on S1. My action station was Waitara.
So tell me about your defence station on S1 4-inch. It's a turret, is it? It's a small turret.
No, there's a single. A 4-inch gun on the starboard side. I was the layer on that gun, and all gun layers, you went to anywhere parts of the ship, really. You just got sent there, and you already knew how to do it because you've been trained. I was LR3 then, in them days, not LR2, LR3. I was the gun lab and Charlie Hopper was the trainer in the gun. Then when we went to action stations, of course I was in the turret.
So that was your action stations in Waitara. Now we've already talked about...
Wait a minute, I've got that wrong. Cruising stations was the 4-inch gun. Defence stations was the one turret or two turrets it was. And action stations was the old lot. But I got that wrong. It was cruising stations.
So cruising stations, you were the layer on S1.
Yeah.
So what were you on defence stations? I didn't catch that.
Y turret.
So is that what we call action station as well? Or what?
No, you had you either had two turrets or one turret. You had a forward turret and a half a turret closed up. That was defence stations. So you had two. You either had two turrets or one turret closed up all the time.
Ready for action. Now, what about your action station? Was that Y turret as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Y turret was my action station.
Now, tell me, so what would happen when you went out on a tour? Would you go out on a cruise? Would you go out on your own? Or how would it work?
What's that?
When you went out on a cruise, a patrol.
Oh.
Off Korea. So.
Oh, you just went, you still... We went down from Sasebo, or wherever it was, and we went up through the Formosa Strait from Japan, because it was at Formosa then. I think it's Taiwan, isn't it, now? And you had an American patrol in the strait, because the Chinese and the mainland used to shield Formosa, in them days, and you had an American... A patrol destroyer used to go up and down here. But when we steamed through it, we always made up about 22 knots when we steamed through. And you went through then, always in the dark, never in the daylight, really. And you darkened ship, naturally, when you left Sasebo. And you completely darkened ship, like, went sailing through the Formosa Strait up to Korea. Then you either went on the east coast or the west coast, mostly the east coast at one time, because it only just started, really, the Korean War. We was at Incheon, we used to bombard Incheon, I don't know, bombarded
them. What were the shore bombardments like?
What do you mean, what was they like?
I mean, for you, in the turrets and everything else,
Well, you didn't take much notice, you just fired. If they kept saying fight, broadside, you just broadside, and that's what you've done.
When
we first went there, you was a little bit trashed-like, because you didn't know what was going to ever happen to you. And the Yanks outnumbered us, about 4-1. They had about 3 cruisers there, we had 1 cruiser.
What was it like in the turret when it was firing? Can you give us an idea?
Bloody noisy. all the blokes used to shout their own orders. Not noisy as noisy, but you couldn't hear the gun go off in the turret. Like, you heard it go off, of course, naturally, and you see the recoil. But you didn't hear the bang go, because it was all closed in, wasn't it, see? You knew you fired, blimey, you used to make enough noise when you opened up. Sometimes you fired 6 broadsides, sometimes 16, sometimes 20, I don't know. It's all called what you was firing at, I suppose.
You wouldn't know what you were firing at, would you?
Very rare, because we was always like, I mean, she had a range of 14 miles, and we could fire at 6 or 8 miles away. You could see the coastline, but you couldn't actually see the target.
Did you know what the targets were? Would they tell you, or was it?
Oh, yeah, sometimes they used to tell you who you was fighting. The last time, I think it was, who was that? or one of the times, it was a battle of the Indian River, and we went up there to the Indian to support the British. I think it was the 41st Island Division, I can't remember now. But anyway, we put a few broadsides over there to support them. And the skipper said, like, make it accurate, because, like, they're for our blokes, like, you know, which you kept your pointers on tow and everything. It was good like that. And when we went up to Yangon, the capital of North Korea, it's Pyongyang, it's like, but it's Yongyang, or I think it is the name of it. And we went up there, and we went up the Yalu River that night, and he told us we've got to keep quiet and no noise on deck. The river is narrow. And he had all shore back. We said, well, we went up there, and we opened fire on the capital. And we fired 16-4 broadsides. They thought they was getting bombed. They didn't know the ship had come up the Yalu River. And, of course, the communists are firing up in the sky. And they didn't know it was actually happening to them. And they didn't know a ship had crept up there. And it was us. And when we come out, we went out of full bore. I don't think we could turn round in that river at first, until we got near the estuary and he could turn it round. Then we went out like with a bat out of hell. We did. We was at full pelt.
Were you ever fired at or attacked?
Oh, yeah. We got hit. Well, we got fired at a couple of times, but we got hit once.
Tell me about that.
Well, the first place was a place called Changi Do, an island. And in the middle of the night or something, the Chinese had invaded this island. So they sent the Marines in. We used to have a fast boat. I forget what they called it. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, they sent about half a dozen Marines in, and they went flying in there, because it used to be about 25 knots, this thing. And when they got near the shore, like the shell fire and one thing and another, like splashes in the water, so the Marines turned about and come out, and when we were sitting there, I was sitting in the turret watching all this through my telescope, and then I see these splashes coming in the water, and I got told off that day.
Why?
Because I said, bloody hell, the bloody firing is out here, Nobby. That was the gunnery officer. He said, keep quiet, he said, no matter what shells was coming over, keep quiet. And that was that.
They didn't hit you, though?
No, not that day, so we opened up on them. Fired another load of broadside on them. And that was that. That was the Battle of Changi Do. The Amethyst was up there, the old Amethyst that was up the Yangtze. She come out there like a bat out of hell. She'd been round the back of the island. Well, we couldn't get down there because we were too big, like the draft. And the Amethyst went down there, and she come out there like a bat out of hell, she did. With all guns blazing, and because she'd come out round from the island, of course they was onto her, and she'd come out there all fully, right, arse to the wind, and bat out of hell.
So, what about the other time you came under fire?
When we got hit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we got hit that day. It was on a Sunday. Yeah, it was on a Sunday. We was all sitting in a mess, and well, I didn't hear nothing at first. All we felt was we were steaming. We used to call it root cigarette. It was on the east coast or the west, I can't remember now. And we was going along, and then wallop. She went, all we felt was a, she was steaming along, and all of a sudden we went, you felt, boom, and that was all. It's just like somebody burnt with the ship's side. Well, you used to get that, because with the ice, when the ice used to hit the ship's side, when it was freezing cold, God, it used to make all manner of noises. Anyway, we was all sitting there, we said, well, what the bloody hell's that? No one took no notice, we just sit there. Well, the action stations, cruising stations, I think. And a bloke come running down the mess and shouted out, we got one in ball forward. Got one in ball, yeah, and all of a sudden the action station sounded, so of course then we all legged it. We all thought, I thought, oh, the fireman was steaming up like that, the fireman the starboard side, go down the port side. The blinking shells was coming right over the mast, coming onto the port side, exploding in the water on the port side. Also legged it down to half, like got in the turret, and we trained round there, and we silenced the shore battery, and that was that.
But how much damage was done? Or did you not
had a big hole in the side. There's a picture of it over there, in that book. A big hole in her side. Blacksmiths cut it out, put a new plate in, painted it, put it all back. All ships out in Bristol. We couldn't do that in the Navy. Only the Navy could do that in. Well, we was at sea on patrol.
What was the weather like? I mean, it got pretty cold at times on those tours.
Oh, about 40 below.
How cold was it? What was the effects of the cold?
Well, they said that on the bridge one night, we had a reading up on the bridge about 45 below zero.
And what was that like for you?
Bloody cold. It was a strange cold. You had all long johns, gloves, helmet, everything you had, and you got all your weather gear. We didn't at first. When the winter first came, we didn't have nothing. All we had was our oilskin and greatcoat. Then eventually they sent it out, because I think they didn't know that the weather was like that there. It went, like Japan was the same, and Korea. In the same parallel, you had it the same winter and the same summer, but to the extreme. It was very extreme. The sea used to freeze up. The sea used to just freeze up, and you was ploughing through ice all the time. And if you took, we used to go up on the gun if it was cruising stations. You have a cup of koi, like we used to call it koi, it's cocoa. Cup of koi, and we used to walk out the housing, to the gun, and the time we got to the gun, which was only across the road here, really, you had a film of ice on it. That's how cold it was. We had a gun shelter, we used to put the headphones, we had a big long lead from the gun, to the inside the gun shelter, and we all sat in the gun shelter, all closed up right in there, and the communication number had the headset on, so you knew if you had to dive out the door, and you had all the shells ready, you had all ready ammunition lockers and everything. But it was bloody cold at times, freezing cold. And it was that kind of cold you didn't feel. I can't explain it. I've got a picture, I don't know where the hell it is now. All the sea was one thick coat of ice. There was just ice, couldn't see the sea. And I was leaning against the guardrail with just a woolly hat on and a... It was like a cold that... He didn't touch the guardrail.
With your bare hand?
Oh, no. Your hand stuck to it. It used to be freezing cold. And we got issues with another blanket then. They give us another blanket. I don't believe all this.
Anything else about the cruises, you know, the cruises and the patrolling off Korea?
The Incheon landings we've done, and we bombarded that, and I see General, what was his name? Alexander, he come aboard one of the time, I think it was him. And that other one, MacArthur, I think he come aboard at one time. Because he was the general out there, MacArthur. But see, we was attached to the Yanks. It was all Yanks, wherever we went, it was American. I mean, how many cruisers we had? We had the Ceylon, Jamaica, and the Belfast. And I think the Jamaica got it, and she went home. And another cruiser come out to relieve her, but I can't remember the name of it. But there was a Ceylon and us. You should do them north about. You should cut 7 days at patrol, 14 days patrol. They used to work it like that. I don't know. Then, I mean, the longest patrol we done was, about 2 months or 18 months or something like 18 months, I'm saying, but 2 months, about 8 weeks at sea. And we had a book art, which I never knew what happened to it in the end. It was all in there. We had steam on the main engines for 18 months, solid. 18 months.
Now, anything else you remember about the patrols?
Not really, because there was all much of a muchness.
How did you get on with the Americans ashore?
Well, some of them was all right. I mean, I don't have that much.
Was there any trouble or fighting? Or?
Oh, always. With the Yanks. But you didn't come back and tell the old man that you was in trouble.
So what would cause trouble with them?
Well, typical Americans, plenty of money, and we had nothing. I mean, my wages, I think. I don't think it was £5 a fortnight.
So why would that cause trouble with them? I mean, just jealous of them?
No, they used to put all their money on the bar lot, had big wads of notes. And we had coppers, we used to be, mind you, the yen, we used to get 1,000 yen to the pound. So a £5 note used to give us 5,000 yen. But it was, I didn't see a lot of fights there, there's quite a few. When some Yankees get a bit obstropolous, and then we used to defend ourselves, but otherwise than that, no. Some of them was as good as gold, you know, you had a drink of them and a laugh, and they're full of bullshit, mind you.
Now, what about the you had a new captain while you were out there, didn't you?
Yeah, Captain Duckworth.
What was he like?
He was all right. It carried on, really. He wasn't like Aubrey was, but he carried on exactly the same. We never wore uniform on deck, never.
What did you wear?
Well, you had your duffel coats and woolly hats and sea boots, big leather sea boots. You had leather sea boots and sea boots, stockings. I don't think I ever wore uniform on there, only when you went in the harbour and come out. But when you went on patrol, all you had is all your old weather gear on, like heavy weather gear. All skins or sea boots or... he carried on like that. He didn't bother with you. Like, he never bothered with you. Just
was he as good as the first skipper that he had?
Well, personally, no, I don't think so.
Why not?
Oh, it was just that way. I think all the blokes on that ship respected old Aubrey, and he respected them, and you got respect over him. And he seemed a bit distant, if you understand.
Duckworth seemed distant.
Hey?
Duckworth seemed
distant. Yeah, he seemed a bit distant. When I went on to Belfast, I worked on there. The commander on there, and he said...
Hang on, that's after the war, though, isn't it?
No, but this wasn't nothing to do with that. He said, what commander, what captain do you have? I said, Captain St. Clair Poole and Captain Duckworth. Oh, he said, old Harry Duckworth. Oh, I know him, he said. Oh, I said, do you know him? I said, yes, he was the commander, like, then, on the belt. I guess, just in conversation, he was talking. No, he seemed an odd enough bloke. I mean, he never bothered you. But, I don't think he was as popular as Aubrey, like, you know. Because there was the only ship I've ever served on, when he did leave the ship, I think it was in Japan we left it.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Did I?
They cheered him.
And I've never seen a ship clear the hard deck to cheer him down a quay, but they did. He said, don't worry, he said, I'll be there and pick your head rope up when we get back to Chatham. And he was. He was right on a knuckle in Chatham and he picked the first head rope up. Captain St. Clair Ford. He's a commodore then. Of course, the cheer went up.
Now, what? Anything else you remember about?
Oh.
Did you get leave in Tokyo or anything like that?
No. You never got leave in Japan or nothing like that. You weren't allowed ashore all night at one time in Japan. You were only allowed ashore till 11 o'clock. Then they all...